When you hear the word poverty, what do you think of? One of the images that comes to our mind is homelessness. Not being able to pay bills. Financially broke. Another image is there's no food. So no food, no home, no financial means to support this body, our family. Those seem to be, on a global scale, the way we think of poverty. And sometimes we add a third. And I don't know if this was around in that day, but I do hear it in our day. I don't have a life. You know? I don't have a life. I can't do anything. I can't do what I want to do. You know? I'm stuck. You know? And it's like one is, in a sense, in jail. In the days of the prophet Isaiah, poverty was going to take on a new definition that we have not experienced. It's called slavery. The people of Israel, the nation, the people in Judah, Jerusalem, had turned away from the Lord God. And prophet after prophet were warning the people, you keep on doing this and God is going to bring judgment. And among God's chosen people, there was an arrogance. God's never going to do that. We are special. You have anybody in your family that they think they're special, right? They just can't get into trouble. They're mom's favorite, mom, dad's favorite, grandma, grandpa's, you know. We had the littlest one in Jenna's household. Sarah's going to go to kindergarten. And all the kids in the house say, she's the princess. That little person with her big voice rules. And they recognize that that chemistry in that household is that way. And the people of Israel, because they were given a promise to Abraham and to David, and it was renewed with Isaac and all the patriarchs, they knew they were special, and they thought God would never do this. Well, earlier in the chapters of Isaiah points out that you have switched your diet. And he uses a phrase like, you've chosen bread that's not bread. You've chosen water that doesn't quench thirst. And what has brought on what is called poverty in this Old Testament book is idolatry. Where people switch out and no longer trust God, they no longer are obedient to God, they no longer count on God's promise, God's protection, God's provision, they find ways to make their own way in life. Now, does that sound like today? Isn't that weird? Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, people were acting this way. And sometimes when we read the scriptures, we look outside or in the mirror, okay, we find people are still acting this way. There is a spiritual poverty. It's not about lifestyle. It's the absence of life itself in Christ. They have turned to other gods, whether you consider it gold, silver, money, cash, you know, investments, property, whatever you consider the accumulation of power and influence as gods, they were turning to it. The kings of the time looked for power and taxes and all that. The people of the time brought in idolatry into the temple, into their houses of worship. The people had stopped listening to God. And their ears and their minds and their hearts were attracted to other things. And Isaiah said again and again, don't do this. Because God will hold you account. Well, after the news of doom and gloom, now comes in chapter 55 this invitation. An invitation that does not make sense. To an unfaithful people, to a rebellious nation, to stiff-necked, hard-headed, pig-headed, you know, whatever you want to call these people that have turned away from God to other gods, to idols of the heart and the mind, to all the world, comes an invitation to a feast beyond your imagination. Several Bible commentaries will make a connection with this chapter and when Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room the week that he is crucified. Remember the night we call Maundy Thursday. And when Jesus says, I will not drink of this cup again until, and it's like he's pointing to this feast of Isaiah 55. Where it's a different kind of wine, and it's a different milk, and it's a different bread. The word pictures in here for wine and milk and bread is about life and joy and nourishment for the soul. A soul that cannot be beaten down, a soul that will not perish, a soul that cannot be destroyed because it is in God. Our life is in God. And this invitation says, come. And you heard the reading a little bit ago. Come and have this without buying. Now, when someone tells us without buying, I wonder if their thinking was just like ours. There's got to be a catch. Right? Yeah. You know, when you see those products in the ads and you think, man, that's a good price. You know, and then when you look at it, you realize it's not made as well. You're paying for what you're getting. You know, if it was a tool, right, Pastor Al, you know, it's going to have more plastic than metal. And, you know, and if it's anything else, you know what I'm talking about. You know the marketplace. Well, here, there is a price. Now, when Walmart, Kmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, and all these places in town, they say, come by, and, you know, they got this blue light special or whatever it is. We recognize that somebody's paying for this. It's marked up in the prices of the other products. Somebody is paying the price. In fact, we pay the price for theft. You know, for their loss margin in the stores, in order for them to stay in business, somebody has to pay them. In other words, there's nothing free in this world, is there? You may not be paying the price, but somebody pays the price. Or some way they come back at you and they get the price paid. Well, here's what's interesting. In this invitation for this heavenly dining, there is a price. But you and I don't pay it. And God never recoups it out of us. There's no markup on anything else that God gives us. The price is paid by the suffering servant. We know him in the New Testament as the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that by his suffering and his death and his resurrection, he pays for sin, he overcomes death, and he conquers the devil. And the price is paid, and the admission is free to us. This invitation, you're right, there is nothing free. This is not a free dinner. This is not a free life, but it is paid for life. It is granted. It is life that is guaranteed in Christ, and there's no other transaction needed. He calls us into this new relationship. He calls us out of spiritual poverty, the idolatry of our hearts, the thirsting and the cravings and the passions that so consume us. He calls us out of what is holding us hostage to be free in the servant. He calls us out of the fears of our life. The fears of what the people of Israel were soon going to see when the Babylonian Empire comes down from the north and eventually surrounds Jerusalem and eventually takes the city and eventually takes the people, most of the nation, back to Babylon as slaves. I don't think we have that kind of fear right now for us, but we have fear of fire, tornadoes, hurricanes, right? We have fears of unemployment. We have fears of bankruptcy. We have fears of any other number of ways, lawsuits and everything else, that somehow everything in our lifestyle can change in a heartbeat. But what God reminds us through the prophet is that this life is yours. It cannot be taken away. The Bible tells us where it cannot be destroyed by moth or rust or theft or anything else. It is a heavenly banquet. And because we define ourselves as new life in Christ, we recognize that the things of this world may be good, it may be rough, it may be terrible, right? But we still have life in Christ. The Bible says it another way, even though I die, yet I live. The Bible says it another way when it talks about heaven is my home. He talks about this banquet, this feast, this heavenly eating that brings us such a joy and a peace that now we have a foretaste of it in the Lord's Supper, but one day we will have it in the full. Our challenge today is not any different than the days of Isaiah. How do we define poverty? And what they forgot, and I think it's a risk that we face, what we forget is our richness, our wealth, our life is in God. To not turn away from Him, to not forsake Him, to hunger for His word, to thirst in His righteousness, to turn to Him, to lean on Him, to believe in Him. We get so distracted and consumed by the things of living day in and day out. And I think it was that way for them. That God becomes an afterthought. And if you do that long enough, and I don't think there's a magic number, God may not be present even for the afterthought. Because people have forgotten Him completely. This is an invitation to come, to live, to have a richness that's not dependent on size of house, bank account, and all the things that we measure lifestyle by. This is an invitation to come and live, to live now and live forever in our Lord Jesus. Amen.